The Great War was over, but everyone knew another war was coming, and it drove the city a little mad. Near dawn, Largo Morden pedaled his bicycle through the nearly deserted streets of Lower Perjava. It was exactly 1 week since his 21st birthday. Fog from the nearby bay and smoke from the armaments factory left the center of the city looking like a flat, ashen mirage. As Largo sped over the ore bridge, the edges of Gothic office buildings, dwellings, and cafes coalesced into view. Streetcars gliding atop silent magnetic tracks in the street, and above, old church spires, shadowy outlines a second before, solidified and were gone. At the bottom of the bridge, where Kreyefala crossed Tomstrasse, a line of blind Mara delivery automata sat waiting for the crossing signal to change. Some of the larger contraptions, the Black Widows carrying machine parts for the factory, resembled wrought iron spiders the size of pushcarts, while the little tea and breakfast Maras were wooden bread boxes decorated with wings and carvings of flying women. Largo was tempted to veer into the line of machines and kick over one or two of the smaller ones. He knew that someday soon the Maras were going to put human couriers like him out of business. Each time he thought about it, a little wave of panic bubbled up from his stomach because, aside from a strong set of legs, the only things Largo possessed that were worth money were his bicycle and an encyclopedic knowledge of every street and alley in the city. To Largo's surprise, while the crossing signal still read, "Halt," one of the little winged bread boxes crept past the other Maras and whirred quietly across Kreyefala. With a mechanical rumble, a squat armored juggernaut carrying soldiers sped around a corner and crushed the bread box under its metal treads without slowing. All that was left of the little carrier were a small motor sputtering blue sparks, splinters, and a flattened sandwich. Largo hadn't eaten for a day, and the sight of food made him hungry. Still, he smiled. Indeed, the blind Maras would put him out of business one day, but not today, and not for many days to come. When the signal clicked to proceed, he guided his bicycle through the remains left in the intersection as the rest of the automata split up, carrying their goods all over Lower Perjava. The clock over the great triumphal square, renamed, perhaps a touch optimistically after the war, showed that it was just a few minutes before six. Largo had spent far too long in bed that morning with Remy, his lover, but it was so hard to leave her. He bent over his handlebars, pedaling faster, knowing all too well that being late at the beginning of the work week was a good way to have hair branca snapping at you until Friday. Worse, it could result in a humiliating dismissal. The edges of the plaza were coming to life. Bakers laid out loaves and pies in the windows of their shops. The newspaper kiosk attendant by the underground tram station cut open piles of tabloid yellow sheets full of political intrigue and reports of the previous night's murders. All-night revelers wandered through the square, still jubilantly drunk from the evening before. Along the gutters, purring pig-like chimeras cleared the street trash by devouring it. Beyond the edges of the plaza, prostitutes flirted with men in strange masks made of steel and leather. Iron dandies, they were called, but never where they could hear it. They were war veterans, considered too disfigured to be glimpsed by the city's ordinary citizens, Largo among them. He'd heard that if you stared too long at a dandy, he'd rip his mask off, giving you a good look at his mutilated face. Seeing a dandy that way was considered bad luck. Bad luck or no, the truth was that Largo didn't want to see what was under the masks or think about how the wounds or the war itself had happened. He just put his head down, pedaled harder, and arrived panting at the courier service as the plaza clock rang six. Dropping his bicycle next to those of the other couriers, Largo ran up the stairs to the office and made it inside before the head dispatcher, Herr Branca, noticed his tardiness. He lingered at the back behind the other messengers so that his supervisor wouldn't see him sweating.